sitting here holding the recorder. As we begin our lesson from John chapter 3, we're going to be talking about being children of God and really the glory that is given to us as children of God. And so I'd like to look with, if you just to start with, on what do we think about the word glory? If you look in a dictionary and you see what we think about the word glory, there's different ways to look at this word. There was a movie a few years back that this was the title of that movie. And it was about the first African-American regiment in the Army. And this was during the Civil War. They brought together the first African-American group ever. And they fought in the Civil War. And the name of the movie was Glory, because at the end, this regiment ends up going to a battle at Fort Wagner. And in this battle, they charged the fort, and their casualties are extremely high. But they have great bravery and courage, and the movie is really about their bravery and their courage that they show, and thus they achieve glory. And if you look in a dictionary, American dictionary, Webster's or any of English dictionaries, the first part of glory is great praise and honor bestowed by a great accomplishment. And one dictionary said to win glory as on the field of battle. And the second meaning of the word is adoring praise, like we talk about. Or, and the third is radiant beauty, splendor, or magnificence. It's the third meaning of the word glory. Now, if you look in a Greek dictionary, you find a little difference. A lot of times we don't think about the difference in meanings in words, but often in doing translations it becomes very difficult. Most words have more than one meaning. And we don't always use words in the same way, because we use the second and third meaning. In a Greek dictionary, remember the New Testament is written in Greek, the primary use of the word glory is a condition of radiance, splendor, or magnificence. So instead of being something that you achieve, it's more characteristic of something that you have. And if you think about with God, in the little book of 1 John we've talked about before, John talks about God is love, a characteristic of God. God is light, his characteristic. And he could also say God is glorious. It's a characteristic of God. And we'll see that as we go through our lesson today, that it is why we talk about the glory that we will have. It's not something that we achieve, but it's a characteristic which we will someday have. If you look with me in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, you know the story, they go through the Red Sea and the army of the Egyptians is destroyed. And about the first thing they do is they come to Mount Sinai. And they come to Mount Sinai, God's going to give them what we call the law of Moses, the old covenant, or the old relationship based upon his covenant they make through the Ten Commandments. And if you look at the very beginning of this is in Exodus chapter 19, and I want you to sort of look at the picture that's sort of painted for you. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And think of how loud that must have been. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it. The fire went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly, as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God answered in thunder. So hopefully you can see the picture here of Mount Sinai with the cloud up above it and the thunder and the lightning and the loud trumpet sound. And you start to sort of see the glory of God that he's displaying before Israel. And you know the whole story that Moses goes up on the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. But he's up there a while. Now it's amazing to me when you see what God had demonstrated for the people. Yet in just a short time, because Moses is up there for a while, the people get anxious and say, well, you know, we don't know what happened to Moses. He went up there, left, you know, disappeared. So they make a golden calf, and they worship the golden calf. And Moses comes down off the mountain, and in his anger, he breaks the Ten Commandments against the golden calf. And then, of course, he goes back up to the mountain a second time, and receives again the whole law and the Ten Commandments. But when he's up on the mountain, God shows his pleasure because of what of the faithfulness of Moses. And I want you to notice what Moses says to God. God says, I'm going to go with you. I always go with my people. And Moses basically says, God, you need to show yourself to us. And maybe he's thinking about how quickly the people lost confidence in God. And in chapter 33, notice what's said. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, that is God. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand by the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take my hand away, and you may see my back, but my face may not be seen. So now, see this picture. God is blessing Moses to see his glory. He says, you cannot see me face on. I just blow you away. You can't see me face on. So I'll put you in the rock, a crevice in the rock. I'll cover you when I pass by. And after I pass by, I'll take my hand away, and you can sort of see my afterglow. You can sort of see me as I go by. The after effect, so to speak, of my glory. And so we get a picture of the tremendous glory of God. In the Gospels, when Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem for the last time, he knows he's going to be crucified. And he's trying to strengthen his disciples. He gives them a very picture of his glory. We looked at this a few weeks back. But Matthew chapter 17, notice what it says. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. His face shone like the sun. So we get just a picture of the glory of Christ. And he gives the indication to us of Peter, James, and John. And this is one of those pictures, if you read through the little book of Second Peter, that was written at the very end of Peter's life. This is one of the events that stayed with Peter. You can think about. If you were up there and saw the transfiguration of Christ, and you got a glimpse of his glory. And that's what the apostles received. And so in these illustrations, we see the glory of the Father. And we start to see just a picture of the glory of the Son. But also, one of the other things, and if we go back to the story of Moses, when Moses comes down after he's received the Ten Commandments for the second time, he's been now with God for many days up there on the mountain. And it says his face shone because he'd been in the very presence of God. This is in Exodus chapter 34. It says, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, in his hand, and he came down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone because he'd been talking with God. Aaron and the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, his skin and face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. It must have been extremely bright. It's almost like he had been transfigured, but it's not that he had been, it's just that he reflects the great glory of God, because he'd been in the very presence of God. Now, Paul talks about this in the New Testament. And he brings it down that when Moses' face shone, it's when he came down with those Ten Commandments, when he came down with the old law, or what we refer to as the law of Moses. And notice in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the glory of that law and the glory of the law that we have now, the New Testament, or the New Covenant, or new relationship. Remember, the idea of a covenant is really a relationship. And under the law of Moses, Israel had a special relationship with God. And under Christ, we have a special relationship with God. When we've taken the Lord's Supper, we remember that covenant. Jesus, when he gave the wine, or the fruit of the vine, to the apostles, he says, this is the blood of the New Covenant. And so we have a new relationship with Jesus. But look with me in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 3, Paul refers to the Old Testament, or the Old Law, the Law of Moses, first as the ministry of death. And that just simply means, under the Old Law, the Law of Moses, if you broke it, there was death. It was cut and dry. There are a lot of parts of that law that you break the law, you die. It really defined our sin. Now, the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, that goes back to the Ten Commandments, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face with this glory, as we just read in Exodus, which was being brought to an end. That is, well, what he says, brought to an end, the law of Moses was always temporary. It was never meant to be permanent. It was always a temporary relationship between Israel and God. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in the case that once had glory has come to no glory at all, because the glory surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more with a permanence have glory. Now what he's bringing out is that there was such great glory in the Old Testament in the law of Moses, because Moses' face shone when he brought it unto the people. How much more glory does our new relationship with Christ give us? Because that old law brought condemnation, but our new law brings righteousness or forgiveness. The old law was always temporary, and it came with great glory. How much more glory will the new law have? Because it's permanent. It's for all time. And so we're now under that new, and how much more glorious is that law than what they had under the law of Moses? And that's the idea. We start seeing the glory of the law itself. The law of Moses came with glory. So much so they couldn't even look at Moses' face. I've always wondered exactly what that would have looked like, but it said that Aaron and the people were scared. They were afraid. So it wasn't just like a little bit of a glow. He must have really glowed. And that was the glory of being with God. And what Paul is bringing out is how much more glory, because we have now a covenant made by the very death of His Son. In Acts 13, Paul brings out the idea of how much more our relationship is than it was before. In Acts chapter 13, Paul says at the end of one of his great gospel sermons, "Let it be known, therefore, brothers, that through this man, that is Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you by Him. Everyone who believes is free from everything from which you could not be freed from the law of Moses." We now have this freedom because we can be totally forgiven. And that's why he refers to the new law as the law of righteousness, where the law of Moses condemned, the law of Christ now justifies and brings us forgiveness. At the end of this of the section in 2 Corinthians that we just read, we see another part of the glory that we have in the law of Christ. And notice what it says. This is beginning in 2 Corinthians, the very end in chapter 3, and verses 18. When we all, with unveiled faces, see the glory of our Lord, are being transformed. It sort of reminds me of the transfiguration of Christ Himself. Into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Now what he's saying is that now we have this glory of the New Testament, the new covenant, the new relationship. And we're starting, as we start that walk in that covenant, of being transformed glory to glory. So we start that transformation from where we are now to the very glory of God. It's what he's through this new relationship that comes to us through Christ. From glory to glory. We start going up to the glory of God. And that's where we are now. If you look with me in 1 John and back to our scripture reading this morning, I think that's what John is talking about. Look back now with me in 1 John chapter 3. What kind of love has the Father given to us that we should be called children of God? Now, that's a phrase we'll see a few times. But think about it. You're a child of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are children of God now. That we that we will be has not yet appeared. In other words, we're not quite there yet. But we know that when He appears, now look at this part, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Now think back on the example with Moses. Moses couldn't look at God. He had to put in the cliff of the rock and be covered with his hand. He couldn't look directly at God. But now John is saying when He comes again, we'll be able to look at Him because we will be like Him. That's the transformation that comes through this new covenant, the new law that we have with Christ, the new relationship that came when Christ died upon the cross. We have a new relationship with God so that when He comes again, we'll be able to look at Him. He won't have to put His hand over us and put us in the cleft of the rock. We'll be able to look at Him because we will be like Him. Now that's something that I cannot sit here or stand here and actually explain to you. But it says we will be like Him. A few more verses in Philippians. Notice what Paul says. But our citizenship is in heaven. This is one of the things we do forget about. We look at this world and we think about our citizenship here. But this is not our home. We're strangers and sojourners here. We look forward to a time when we are in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. From there we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. We will have that kind of glory when He comes again. Not a glory that we achieve, but a glory that's given to us through Christ. I'd like to end with one more passage. Because to me it wraps up the whole idea that we've been thinking about in 1 John. And this comes from Romans chapter 8. And notice what Paul says. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider the suffering of this present time not to be worth compared to the glory that will be revealed to us or in us. So we await a Savior because when Christ comes again, we will have that glory that He has. After His resurrection, Jesus appeared to His apostles and He told them that did not the Christ have to suffer and then enter into His glory, the glory that He now has. And what these passages show us that when we start our walk with Him, through that new relationship we have in the new covenant, we build our glory step by step till when He comes again, we will have the same glory that He has now. Now to me, that's almost beyond our imagination. It's almost beyond our thought. And when in the passage before, when He says we'll be co-heirs with Christ, that means that God has raised us up to the level of Christ Himself. Now that, like I say, I can't say I can explain that to you. Because it's almost beyond our thought. But that's what these passages say. We will be like Him. We'll be able to look directly on God because we will be like Jesus Himself. We will truly be children of God. We talk about Jesus being the Son of God. We will be children of God. We're not there yet, but we will be when we complete that journey when He comes again. The book of 1 John brings these things out. That this is what it means to be a Christian. It's not this world. We're strangers and sojourners here. We're just passing through. We'll wait the time when we will have that kind of glory that Christ has. That's what it means to be a child of God. And that's what's promised to those who put Jesus on. When you are baptized into Christ, you start a new life with Him. You are a child of God, starting that new. We all start from the same place, but we don't end till we get to heaven. And that's what promised us in Christ. This morning, think about your life. Have you started that walk with the Lord? If you have, you know we're in with that glory. If you started that walk, but you haven't been faithful to it, you can always get back on the path. If you need to come in any way, won't you come? As together we stand and sing.